Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. Oh, y'all. We actually have a ridiculous amount of football to talk about. For once, this, the internet's only college football podcast, will actually discuss football. That's right? That's correct. Like, we're gonna...
If you're listening at home, if you're wondering, will this promise pay off? My wager is no. So just go ahead and mentally mark down roughly what percentage of football to non-football you think we'll talk about.
This is football.
The under is going to win.
It happened at a football stadium. It happened above a football stadium.
From the alley down below?
Who?
The alley very loose interpretation.
All right.
Bring on Spencer, okay. Old hospital gurney. Gonna sit
fine.
The window
bring over
point.
Those. Bring over those sealed hospital records.
Yo.
Excuse me, those shredded hospital records.
A lot of things happened in week one, but
none of them
equaled Liberty University coach Hugh Freeze coaching football from a gurney in the window of the stadium. Someone else talk. I have to laugh.
I have the same problem.
It just is. It just, that's what it is.
He looked like a fucking astronaut. You know, in the photo where you see the astronaut looking down on Earth, that was the view at the end of the game for his post-game presser, where you can see the tiny little football field in the background, and there's Captain Freeze orbiting lonely above Earth.
You don't even have to change the name of the movie.
Where God can't see him.
Yeah. Could be Ad Astra. Get it?
What, because it's got ass in it?
Mm-hmm. Same word.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same exact same word.
Talk about fathers and sons.
Oh.
Talk about Interstellar.
This is going to get worse, and we're steering into it.
There's a Milky Way joke here, but I'm not doing it.
Everyone,
not.
Into the crevasse.
The wormhole.
Oh, God.
You guys thought that we hit a new low with Jerry Falwell in a chain bikini, and as usual, the truth is worse.
We've tunneled under it.
But surely Hugh Freeze just sort of kept a low profile as he sat in a hospital bed wearing a visor indoors in said hospital bed while he quote-unquote coached Liberty football, right?
Press boxes are some of the least ADA accessible spaces I've ever been in my life. How did they get a fucking bed in there?
I mean, at least it was a productive piece of theater, right? Like Liberty scored. Did they score like 24 points or was that the other team that did that?
No, it was, they zeros.
Oh, so Liberty didn't score any points?
None.
So this was all this whole spectacle, this whole engengineered sports entertainment spectacle produced nothing of any value for anyone other than joy.
Yeah.
Other than joy and general enjoyment, which that's what matters most, I guess.
Which that's a first that I can say from a Hugh Freeze game since I think Ole Miss beat Bama.
I think this is the first good thing Liberty's ever did.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm not saying I know anything, and I definitely don't, but it has the whole feel of, well, shit, I told everybody I have cancer, so now I have to shave my head. I just wanted some sympathy from my coworkers, and now I have to shave my goddamn head.
Oklahoma scored again. We're recording during Oklahoma-Houston, and if you didn't see this game, you're probably not missing much.
Is it 35-10 now?
Yeah, about to be.
Yeah, you know, that's actually 45 more points than, you know, combined than Liberty scored, which is zero.
What happened was Jalen Hurts barreling toward the end zone, hurdled a guy, launching himself up into the air, up into the atmosphere, which is where Hugh Freeze resides on his magical healing platform. I think Liberty should put a gurney on the sideline as their turnover trophy.
The turnover gurney?
Yeah, maybe they turn you over. They put you on it and they flip you.
Hello.
Check you for your bed sores. Then flip you back over.
That's a big third down stop. Come get your catheter.
Come flip this 320 pounder.
The thing that this entire thing is absurd and ridiculous.
What about it?
Well, before we get there, right? The entire situation at root is absurd because this is Liberty University openly trying to have, you know, like, first of all, Liberty, just go look it up.
You don't love dudes using church as a merit badge on a good day?
Yeah, Liberty. Second, they hired Hugh Freeze.
Third, who hired you for Hugh Freeze?
That'd be Jerry Falwell Jr.
Who else?
Jerry Falwell Jr. Did he hire who fired?
He hired Ian McCaw.
Yeah, there we go. Let's get that in there.
From whence does he hail?
Yeah, he came
Baylor
from,
University.
Oh, did anything Baylor. Bad happen on his watch? Yes, yeah, several
they've
things.
They've been in the news, some.
Which is why, like, first of all, independent of anything in this story, when you go, do you think these people are lying about something? I would say yes, because their lips are moving. That's it. Independent of anything in the Hugh Freeze story, when they come out and say anything about their intentions, I would just go, oh, it's probably the other thing, right?
Right.
But this, of course, has nothing to do with the Hugh Freeze story. Freeze, who suffered a medical crisis of some bacchiotomy sort.
Let's go reportedly.
Reportedly.
Because it was reported.
Yeah, because we're reporters.
Yes.
Although, you've been saying this for so long that I now have other people DMing me and being like, Hugh Freeze threw his back out jerking it?
I did not say that.
Yes, you did.
No.
I'd call that independent confirmation. That's two sources, right?
That's two sources.
Ship it. Jeff Schultz will have this on his Twitter feed by midnight.
Two sources. Hugh Freeze's dick and Hugh Freeze's hand. There you go.
Ah! God, this is like pulling off a scab and you know there's blood, but you just keep yanking at it because now it kind of itches.
Now there's so many words so close to each other. I don't like these.
Hugh Freeze scab dick.
Do you think at some point during the game, because he was in a bed, he was tempted to masturbate, and then he was like, oh, window's still up.
I mean, how do we know he didn't? Nobody was watching this game.
I'm gonna have a rare defense of Hugh Freeze here. If you're just sitting around for 2 hours...
Well, Liberty didn't.
Hey! About half of all... About half of all guys sitting, you know, inert in a bed for 2 hours would sort of think once, like,
about half
know,
of all
maybe
guys
I not...
reclining in a press box.
Exactly, like, maybe I can knock one out here. Oh, I forgot it's a press box window. That's how stupid dudes are, right? They just sit there and go like, I don't know, maybe I could poop. Oh, I'm in a bed.
Column, Hugh Freeze jacking off in the press box should torpedo the concept of coaches reclining in the press box for good.
Like, that's what he was doing when Dino Babers gives him the thumbs up from the field and he has to go like, oh, hey, brother, hey!
Yep, handshake. Yeah, that's the youth group bus trip thing.
Like,
handshake.
Dina's like, thanks for the bye week. Yeah. We appreciate it.
There's one person who suffers in this situation, and that's quarterback Buckshot Jones. That is Liberty's quarterback, Buckshot Jones. He is, I believe he went to Miami Northwestern.
You're underselling the name here. Calvert.
I'm sorry, Buckshot Calvert.
Yeah, he's replacing Hold Big Flank.
Hold Big Flank and Biff Squat Thrust. His predecessors. Mm. Buckshot, if go look at his prom picture, you can go Buckshot Calvert prom picture. And there's a Jim McMahon thing going on. Jim McMahon went to BYU. If you know Jim McMahon, not the kind of guy you think would go to BYU. Same with Buckshot Calvert. Go look at his prom photos. I'm very sad that his team only scored 7.
Lumpy frost.
10.
Crud.
Colder.
0 points.
Rip.
Zero
slack
points.
Cheek.
Warmer. Like
Dirk. Steak face.
Like the mattress beneath you freeze. Warm.
Stump. Oh, I was just about to
say
Stump
Junk. I think
Buckshot
looks more like a UTSA kind of guy.
Yeah. Crunch. Slam chest.
You know, at the very at
the Liberty the Liberty Monster Truck team.
God, I bet the Liberty paintball team is on some Jade Helm shit like we have never imagined.
I bet they suck. Rich kids, they can't handle that.
Not that rich.
There's one group that has not been interviewed or talked to the media in this whole process.
Yeah,
and
bloggers.
That is the... Yeah, we're the unsung, unheard heroes. the Liberty assistant coaches. I really want somebody to go to like
great
the OC, the DC, and be like, hey, so how's it feel knowing that Hugh Freeze is just going to be up there in a goddamn hospital bed in a situation where it would be totally understandable if you just coached a game that you're probably not going to win anyway. How's that feeling? Pretty great? Are you excited?
I don't know. Have you taken a spin through the coaching staff and seen if maybe any of their OCs have like decades and decades of coaching experience?
I believe they're called disciples.
I particularly enjoyed when this hit the internet that I don't know anybody who I follow, read, or otherwise patronize as a college football person who presented this straight up, right? I don't know anybody who said, oh man, look at that. So valiant that Hugh Freeze is coaching from a stretcher. The minute it came out, it was like 100% like, well, that like the mildest thing I heard was, that's unusual. That's odd. That's the mildest thing I heard.
Well, yeah, because so many of these fine institutions had to execute a Lusitania turn after carrying water for his ass all week last week.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for that, everybody. Thanks for participating in Hugh Freeze's rehab tour.
I'm trying to find the one person I saw. Oh, from Slow Play Peter on Twitter,
who
responded to Dino pointing at Coach Hugh up there in the heavens. Says, so much respect to Coach Freeze. All of y'all that are making fun of him are violating HIPAA laws and should be prosecuted.
to which
Holly responded, citizens arrest him, you coward.
To which, that wasn't even my favorite, thank you, first of all, but my favorite response was a little bit further down the thread when someone said, sir, it's spelled HISSIPA.
Yeah, it didn't even get the law right, and it's not a law. Oh yeah, also that's not the law.
Like, people I know who otherwise might treat this with some degree of...
Oh, no, nobody bought this for a fucking second. Nobody
bought this as normal.
And I thought for a second that I was like, oh, this is a great confirmation of my timeline. It's been well curated to people who aren't here for this merit batch Jesus two-shoes bullshit. And no, it was actually everybody.
My regret is that Liberty and Hugh Freeze didn't go harder into it, that he wasn't, like, in a medically induced coma.
I think he's gone plenty hard, sir.
And then at halftime, he, like, bursts out of his restraints. They're like, oh, God, he's loose!
Stop!
Yeah.
I can't hit you, because you're not here. This is usually a Spencer problem. Bursting, I mean.
Just with the Saturday Night Live, like, blood jet, like, loaded up in his wrist, like, spraying the window. No!
How naughty.
Coating the windows of the press box.
Oh,
in a just world, this would have been the ACC Network's first game.
Like, nobody, that's the best. The minute it happened, they wanted this Rocky, like, because Liberty is selling this. They're selling it.
They invoked Ben fucking Carson to sell this.
They're selling it so hard. Like, even...
And a surgical technique that ladders up to a publicly traded company. That's interesting. Yeah. Anyway.
Wild. So...
What did we refer to it as? Griftgraft?
Griftgraft, yeah.
Yeah. That
mostly because we can't tell those two things apart. But guess what? Neither can Hugh Freeze, apparently.
Yeah, so that, like... The minute it happened, they're like, look, it's like, this is amazing. Our coach is like Rocky's story. And everyone on Twitter is like, yo! What?
I wish when the ESPN interviewer had started talking to him, the first thing he had said was, where's Padme?
No.
Do not want.
Rise, Lord Freeze.
I was Jerry gonna say, I think we've Falwell had enough pad in our wand.
Emperor Falwell.
Like, yeah, that's like Freeze kneeling, and then he gets like the big projection and looks up and goes, hey, does this video hologrammy thing, can you hook it to the internet? What can you stream on this exactly? I mean, for recruiting, I'm just asking.
I will give Hugh Freeze this. He's not a vain man. And yeah, Jason, I see it coming. Stop it.
He owns mirrors. He can't be.
There's nothing flattering about being interviewed in a hospital bed. There's no. All your angles are terrible.
No,
like it's Abigail Adams' ass. I'm sick.
No, everybody looks like a 4-year-old holding the phone doing FaceTime, right?
Especially because the angle of ESPN's broadcast when they went up to his press box on Mars to interview him, the angle is pointing right at his chin, which is the most interesting yes. part of his face because it doesn't exist, and it makes him look like you're. I mean, not to go back to Jabba the Hutt, but
it's a deeply unflattering angle.
I'm not doing the voice again.
Houston scored.
It's quite a salacious crumb of information. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Not sorry enough to not do it again, but a little bit.
The funniest thing I saw, and I can't remember, I'm going to find out who did it, but they cut footage of the Iowa crowd waving to the children's hospital. They cut it so that it went straight to Freeze waving out of the window.
I would have wished for 4 touchdowns had I been in a position to make a wish. Meanwhile, Bob Davey over here having an actual heart attack in the stadium.
Yeah, we had a coach have a heart attack.
Amid all this theater, Bob Davey almost died. Good job, Hugh Freeze.
We don't know about taking
attention away from that, I guess.
Last I heard was expects full recovery was the language to the statement. So,
yeah, that's good. That's great.
Yeah.
My major regret is that I am now confident Spencer is going to try to do a full cast live show from a gurney on stage somewhere.
Hey, at least then we can, if we're wheeling him, at least he'll show up on time.
Maybe.
No, that's a great point. Thank you.
Maybe.
Thank you for planting that.
Why didn't he have like a switch? Why didn't he just sit there? Like, because that's what I would do, right? They're like,
hey, like a Craftmatic bed?
No, I meant
why
like.
Why didn't he have a switch? Because that's what I would do. Why are you not a millionaire blogger?
Wait, yeah, do you mean a Nintendo Switch?
Yeah, I just have a Nintendo Switch up there.
Oh, I thought you meant like go out in the woods and fetch yourself a Switch, you know, for like a spanking time.
You've been naughty.
Of course, when it's you know.
That seems like a lot of unlandscaped ground for you to cover.
That would be Derek Stevens, by the way, who on Twitter cut Iowa's fans waving to the children's hospital with Hugh Freeze up in the window. You'll say, oh, this is disrespectful, y'all. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Right.
Sure is.
Yeah. You know that thing where you go...
You can email us at 38 Godfrey, our Ole Miss correspondent.
Because sometimes...
Oh, wait. I just realized why Hugh Freeze is doing this. You don't have to wear underwear in a hospital bed.
That's true. Everyone can see your butt.
Freeze balling.
Freeze balling.
I'm sorry again.
So if he'd rolled to the side, the entirety of Liberty would have seen Hugh Freeze's butt up there in the sky.
You know what else rolled to the side?
It's a miracle.
In front of our Savior's tomb.
It's a miracle.
Right. Yeah. So I guess in like 3 days, we'll have 24 points from Liberty.
It's going to take a little while.
It's going to be a minute on that.
They start to roll the rock aside. He's like, just a second.
Hang on.
The noted defensive juggernaut that is Syracuse University.
This is a Dino Babers fan show. We're on record as such.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but, you know, if I see 0 points in a Syracuse game, I'm like, oh, did they play Alabama?
Defense isn't really the brand.
Yeah, it's not what I'm thinking.
This is especially stark considering Mac Brown is out there dancing and hooting and hollering.
Oh, wow.
On the same goddamn day.
It's in the coach's name. D? No. Whereas Hugh Freeze is like, D? Yes. Too much. What if D, but too much?
So Hugh Freeze wasn't moving. At least most of him.
Neither was most of his team.
The other highlight of Saturday... And the young season so far has also involved people not moving. Of course, the non-moving boy band. Is Hugh Freeze a member of the non-moving boy band? I'm not trying to transition us off this. We're not quite done with you,
Liberty. He does seem inclined to treat a good number of listeners like princesses.
He is a summertime lover.
Mm-hmm.
And fall. And really all times. But summer is one of them.
Summer.
Welcome to Hugh Freeze, the mascot of Christian Girl Autumn.
Hashtag.
Remember,
just thinking about the recruiting calendar.
What?
Like you're mostly bringing players to campus on, you know, you're not doing as many visits to, say, like Tampa during the summer. So I think he's more of a winter lover.
Right.
I went to Stockholm Syndrome with that ad like the third time I saw it.
Yeah.
Hey, students, you need to worry less about your high men and more about the highest man of them all.
You know what? The name Hugh Freeze? It sounds like who freeze? And the answer? Jesus. It's right there.
Whoa, Jesus did cryo?
Yeah.
Speaking of cryo, Mac Brown. I learned yesterday via looking at whatever the hell has happened to Mac Brown's face that you can get cryo done on your face.
Mac's looking a little rejuvenated.
He's looking... he kind of looks like Mason Verger in the Hannibal movie, but without all the blood.
I would describe him as having a PS3 graphics face at this point.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
I did ask on Twitter if anyone with more experience in plastic surgery than us could guess what had been done to him in the offseason. And I got to throw over to reader Rob S., who had a really inspirational Mac Brown quote to give us an idea.
Well, first of all, you have to give credit to the Ravages of Time. They played a great game and are just really outstanding competitors.
Seriously, from like the nose to the chin, he looks like Faye Dunaway. You can't tell him apart.
She's my sister and also my daughter.
God, stop
Forget it.
It,
Spencer.
Can I use this as a clumsy segue?
Well, we're done talking about Liberty.
Can I use this as a clumsy segue?
God.
Fuck.
It's the worst callbacks ever.
Can I use this as a clumsy segue to ask you guys actual football? Oh my god.
Time to thank our sponsors.
I hope we don't have any this week.
Oh no.
Can I transition to an actual football question for y'all? So I, without thinking, I labeled this in my notes as who gagged it best. And yep, that was a mistake given what we've been talking about and for how much. Uh-huh. But three teams played this week that just blew a lead in pretty fucking unfortunate fashion. And I would like to hear from each of you as to which one you think should feel the most shame. We're going to start with South Carolina because we were talking about Mac Brown. With 147
ahead of Georgia State.
I don't think they were.
No,
I'm
I
not making
so
that up. No, they were briefly because that's why Tennessee, at least as of this recording, Tennessee's official football Twitter account, their last tweet is like a field goal to end the Vols take the lead, and that's it.
Then
they were raptured.
Do you think there's one person anywhere on Earth who doesn't know what happened next and is like they're like slapping the side of their computer, you know, like
somewhere in like
darn
like
thing.
Somewhere in the
Twitter's been down for a while. I only follow one account.
Damn things busted.
You know what it was?
Okay.
It was on a boat.
God.
God dang, this thing's on fire. Log off.
All right. So, South Carolina was at the UNC 38 with 147 left in the third quarter. Mm-hmm. They were up 20-9, and they punted on like 4th and 6. After that, UNC needed 7 plays to mount a 98-yard touchdown drive and got the 2-point conversion. South Carolina had 4th and 1 at their own 49. They punted again, and UNC went over 90 yards on 4th and 1. Then UNC went over. UNC made another 90-plus yard drive in 7 plays to take the lead. There were still 8 minutes left in the game, and USC and the Gamecocks got the ball 3 more times. On those drives, they called 11 pass plays, and I already put this in the top whatever if you're not subscribed to the newsletter. On those 11 pass plays, they got 2 sacks, 2 picks, 5 incomplete passes, a defensive pass interference, and 1 completion for 11 yards to lose the game. So that's candidate number 1, South Carolina, blowing a 20-9 lead. Purdue. Purdue had a 14-point lead in the ball early in the fourth quarter, and they punted, after which they gave up an 11-play, 74-yard touchdown drive, punted again, gave up an 11-play, 87-yard touchdown drive, threw a pick with less than a minute to play, and lost when true freshman walk-on kicker Brandon Tolton, also he's a scholarship kicker now, kicked a 56-yard field goal on the last play, and Nevada won that game. Last candidate, Florida State. Yeah, sorry.
A rope, by the way, like a 56-yard cannon.
Yeah, fucking crushed it. Last candidate, Florida State led by 18 with 4:07 left in the second quarter, so pretty early still. Boise got two field goals before halftime, and then in the second half, they outgained the Noles 188-60 and outscored them 17-0 to beat Florida State in a game that was supposed to be a neutral site game and got moved to Tallahassee because of the hurricane. Which of those three, Holly, you pick first. Which of those three do you think is the one that should cause the most shame and embarrassment?
I'm going to give a serious football answer here.
Okay.
I got to go with, and I'm sorry about that, but, and again, I'm going to apologize for what I'm about to say next, but Spencer made a really good point yesterday about Missouri has two problems and they're massive, and pick one.
Mm-hmm.
Either the talent differential is what we thought it is, and or is what it should be between a program with that kind of resources and a program with the kind of resources that you'll find in Wyoming, and they weren't executing, which is bad, or there is no talent differential between Missouri and its resources and a program with Wyoming's resources. Which one is worse?
They're both.
So Holly, reaching for the fourth item. I didn't put that on this board just because Missouri, like, didn't actually hold the lead that long. They didn't really blow the game so much as they, like,
You gotta adjust for altitude, though.
Oh, yes.
Right, sorry. Yeah, you have to, your baking's much more complicated.
Yeah, I was gonna, like, what, your nose?
Sorry, anyway, South Carolina. But I was trying to, I thought South look, my answer is South Carolina, but Spencer is sitting here foam-ing, and I'm trying to save it for his Will Muschamp speech.
Because!
Oh, okay. Christ.
Because!
All right, just, I'm gonna shield the mic.
It'll be interesting to see which one Spencer picks.
I'm gonna shield the mic from your spittle.
Yeah, okay, here's so, why, yeah. Okay? Because, is this your most talented team, both by your own admission and by most everyone else who watches the program's estimation? Yeah, this is your most talented team. Is it the one where you said, and I quote, well, I have a quarterback. Yeah, you have a quarterback. Guess what you do with them? You do with them what people with kids do to nice furniture. You ruin it. Spill milk all over it, right? Just let somebody color with crayon over it. That person, by the way, is you. You're your own child, Will Muschamp. All right? Your own irresponsible toddler who will not learn the same lesson that he's been taught over and over and over and over and over and over again, which is that your defense will not save you alone. It won't. On the 49 with 4th-and-1 against a team that was already running it down your throat and doing whatever they wanted to do, you went out there and you punted. When you punt, that's cowardice. Everybody knows it. That's not leverage. When you punt with everything on the line and your best quarterback out there and Jake Bentley, that's cowardice. And you know what repeated cowardice is? Stupidity. It's just bullheaded stupidity. Endless bullheaded stupidity. They're the most shameful loss. You want to know why? Okay, Willie Taggart, that's year two. Stuff happens, all right? You got a new offense. It's built in, right? That's fine. You're still a work in progress. Additionally, when you talk about shame and a loss, right? You take like Mizzou, Wyoming, for instance, okay? There's some really freaky turnovers in there, okay? It's a weird road game. Things might have been kind of out of, like, shape. Yeah, that's fine, all right? The worst loss of them all is the one that came in year 4 when you have no excuses, everything's set up, and you have everything you want. And guess what hasn't changed? And guess what you haven't upgraded? You! You're the one who did this. It's the most shameful loss by far. Also, Mack Brown coached that game like, seriously, like a man who is 40 years older than his already 142-year-old self, right? And you still lost.
He has the face of a 57-year-old. I don't know how old he is.
Yeah, when you ran your head into the same cinder block wall for 8 years straight as a head coach with the same results every single time, I have no pity when you get your ass fired in October, because that's going to happen.
Yeah, on the other hand, as of I think as of March or April of this year, Wilmus Champ's buyout at South Carolina was still $18 million, so.
Well, he knows someone smart then, because it's not him. If it's him, guess what? He knows he's going to be fired. He knows he's Wilmus Champ. Way to go. That's great self-awareness.
Jason?
I think from these, in terms of advantages squandered, I think I would go with Florida State, Boise State. I think I would talk about the Noles. Not just the systemic resources and how they have been applied and how that manifested on the field, but also the actual game state and, you know, the way these two things tied together. Florida State on third down, 1 of 12, despite having one of the most talented rosters in the country everywhere except for a few positions that are relevant to third downs. Boise State, 10 of 19, pretty good. Florida State had 2 50-yard gains and a 75-yard gain and still lost. Here's a big reason. They suffered 11 tackles for loss on 62 snaps. Like, this all-or-nothing-ass offense that, like, you know, if they can get the ball out of the backfield, sure, somebody will take it. But they probably can't, you know, and on the other side of the ball, yeah, you can hit their quarterback. You can hit their quarterback constantly. It doesn't matter. He's got his brother's names. What are they? Tiger and Bear Bork. And
Burl.
Buck. Is Buck the other one?
I had this Tiger, Buck, yeah. And Bear.
Yeah. Yeah. What the fuck are you going to do with that, Florida State? All your recruiting stars, you can't handle that shit. So, I mean, it's funny, like, these programs sort of came from similar trajectories, Boise State and Florida State. You know, if you look at where Florida State was for the majority of college football history and Boise State up until only about 20 or 30 years ago, yet Florida State has the advantage of being in Florida, you know, and power conference approval and the whole first half of this game, and none of those things mattered. Also, they moved it from Jacksonville. Can you imagine if you apply the Jacksonville tax?
On this? Oh.
Jacksonville.
Bachmeier, by the way, was flames in that game. Just, he's going to be really, really, really good. I know Florida State did everything they could to be an accomplice to him, right? In stealing the game from them. But he hit like a 3rd and 14, I want to say, on that crucial last drive over coverage. For a first down that ultimately ended up being the winning drive. Yeah, he's nails. He's a terrifying young man in the best way.
Speaking of flames, Spencer Liberty? Hall.
Good morning.
The Liberty Flames.
Spencer Hall, how many Group of Five teams did, or non-power teams, I should say.
Why are you asking
non-power
him?
Conference teams. How many non-power, I'm afraid to look at you right now.
Why are you asking him?
I know it's.
I have a thing to note. I would like to note that at 11:56 a.m., Rush Roberts, our friend over at Good Bull Hunting, said, "Holly, is this foreshadowing?" Pointing to a story of a Vol Navy boat burning and sinking in the river next to the stadium. And I said, "I don't know if I'd call it that." And I texted this to my former roommate at UT, and she goes, "Yeah, that's just shadowing." And that was at 11:56 a.m. And what happened next? The answer may surprise you. It didn't surprise me, but it may surprise you.
So I'm looking at a list of Tennessee head coaches since Phil Fulmer. One
who.
Somehow I've forgotten that Brady Hoke is technically on this list, 0-2 as interim head coach.
Oh, Jesus, so did I.
Yep, that's fun.
Oh,
so,
I wish I had still forgotten.
Lane Kiffin, Derek Dooley, Butch Jones, combined, how many games did they lose? And they lost their fair share of games to non-power conference teams.
Gosh, Ryan, I don't know.
The answer is 0.
You'll note that also losing to Wyoming is what got Phil Fulmer fired, if you'll remember.
That's right. In his final year as head coach of Tennessee, or so was far. It?
Life sure we'll is funny sometimes. Yeah, if as I said in my tweets, this is really funny because this is fucking up Fulmer's plan to replace Godfrey and I are actually in an argument right now among our various sources over what's going to happen first, because I have heard that Jim Chaney is going to be the interim and Godfrey has not. And so we're trying to figure out who has heard what in that situation. But yeah, Fulmer wants to go Barry Alvarez. This is not a secret to anyone. And the problem now is that I think they have to speed up the timetable to a speed that he was not prepared to do, because I don't even think he knew it was going to go this bad, this fast. I was pointing to the week between Florida and Georgia, because there's a bye between that week four game at Florida and playing Georgia as the logical time. But I also thought this might not happen until the original timeline was going to be next year.
It's all a long way of saying Jeremy Pruitt lost a home opener to a Georgia State team that all of us saw half of their wins last year because we went to one game. This is a Georgia State team that went 2-10 last year, rolled into Knoxville. These are real numbers. They went 10 of 17 on third down. They held Tennessee to 3 yards per rush and less than 100 yards rushing overall. They won the turnover battle 3-1. They held the ball slightly longer than Tennessee did, not basically about broke even. Like, on paper, I would venture to say, if Bill were, and may he rest in peace in ESPN heaven, if Bill were looking at this game and saying, who should win this, it's probably still Tennessee. But that's not who did win this game. And it's not a game that should have been particularly close based on where you thought Tennessee was in their growth curve. Yeah. But you know, tumors grow too. So
This is, and to be clear, this is good news for the health of the program, sort of, because it means that this staff, who I would like to place onto a burning boat with the exception of Jim Chaney, this staff is closer to being all swept out the door. The problem is Phil Fulmer's picking who comes in next. Phil Fulmer, who quit recruiting when Nick Saban set foot in his backyard. Phil Fulmer, who has not had an original idea in his pretty little noggin since 2004. But, you know, Nick Saban isn't going to be a problem for him anymore. So I don't see why that should be an issue going forward. Phil Fulmer is back, and he is the unkillable church biddy. He is the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man in a church hat. And he is the form of my nightmares. And that is why I continue to operate on a policy established in December of 2016 with my friends back home. We made a pact, just like the kids in Derry, and for a lot of the same reasons, we made a pact to float above Tennessee football. We all float up here. What does Tennessee football concern to a lonely red balloon trying to lure a child into a sewer? Nothing.
My favorite stat from this game. In a game against
the score?
Nope.
The score? Nope.
It's this, Spencer. Spencer.
We're not even blood. I will equalize you.
How many times did Tennessee punt in this game that they lost 38-30?
Once.
One punt.
Call him Derry Alvarez, because Phil Fulmer's about to come down and make some cheese, y'all.
In his pants.
This was just, man.
I think it occurred to me late yesterday, after being mad at people being like, oh, can we check on Holly? Like, I'm going to be in the floor and fetal crying over a Tennessee football game. Like, motherfucker, I was at the Fiesta Bowl. Do you think you can hurt me? But I realized at the end of the day that it maybe says something about me that the angriest you can make me is by asking me if I'm okay. That might be the most Tennessee thing about me.
You get away from me. Let the dogs take care of me.
Let me go into the woods and die. No, anyway, this is great because it means that I don't even have the slightest obligation to pay attention to this team for the rest of the year. I'm thrilled.
Tennessee football. That raccoon bit me, and now my blood is sick.
What? How is Georgia feeling at this point? Because on the one hand, like, everybody in the East has looked just like they took care of Vanderbilt easily. Florida
usually performs well when they have a big lead and high stakes, and nothing should get in their way. That's usually when things go real well for them. So I'd be fine.
Mm-hmm.
So Georgia's going to win the East, right? This is Kentucky, there is no drama here. Kentucky. We're looking ahead past the East, right? We're looking to the playoff.
Right.
Who are the four most likely? Sleeping on my Wildcats, my Kroger brand Wildcats.
So it's like Kentucky finishes second. It comes down to the wire. The four most likely playoff teams, right? Georgia rival Clemson, quarterbacked by Trevor Lawrence of Georgia. Georgia owner Alabama. Mm-hmm. Ohio State, quarterbacked by former Georgia quarterback Justin Fields, who played very well. Yeah. And Oklahoma, Jalen Hurts, who also owns Georgia. So there's your playoff field. Georgia, you can win the East all you want. That's what awaits at the end.
Georgia, you can win the East all you want. And do you still want? All right.
Dude, just watch Mizzou come in and win. Like, after an embarrassing loss to Wyoming.
Hey, no, see, this Wyoming's not a conference Kentucky game, is it?
I want Kentucky to stagger against Toledo and then come back and just mow down people that they should and win all their...
Bury me with my money!
That's not usually a problem in Kentucky.
No.
that Wyoming thing, games. That's the 2014 Indiana route.
Right. Mm.
The thing I want most for Kentucky is I want them to win at least two of their games on like a blown call or like an obvious missed call, something like that.
Or we don't cover somebody, like they beat us again because we don't cover a receiver. Yeah, Kentucky's yeah. Like, oh, turn God. About!
Oh, God.
How do you like that? But speaking of Kentucky, by the way, one note on them. At one point, they were kind of going back and forth with Toledo and somebody, you know, complained about Kentucky going, oh man, it's a regression to the mean. They're struggling with Toledo. All right, y'all won. Let's just put everybody in check here. Just take this W and be happy with it because you're not that far away from being Kentucky. You're not. Be happy. It's thrilling. You kicked Toledo's ass by 14 points. That's over a MAC team. Kentucky in the past has struggled more mightily with teams that play in the SWAC. Don't get too up yourself on this. Don't. Kentucky, take it. Be happy. Signed, a Florida fan who you beat last year and who is now, after week one and watching other teams struggle, absolutely thrilled with a close and ugly win over the University of Miami. We're awesome.
Should we talk about Auburn Jesus?
We've spent a lot of time in church tonight.
Let me, here's where I'm at. I watched most of the Auburn-Oregon game. I still cannot tell you if Auburn is good or not. I cannot tell you that. I didn't learn anything. I think I know less. Is Auburn good?
No, it's perfect Auburn.
At what?
When was the last time we have known whether Auburn is good or bad?
The Rose Bowl? Maybe?
No, I mean...
Even that game, though, was like, oh, they're good. Nah, they're just stealing signs. Yeah. Never mind.
They're here because two of the most improbable bounces in the history of sports.
It's impossible to determine whether they are good, bad, here, dead, right? I heard them referred to as Schrodinger's team, which is a very good way to think about Auburn in any spot. I would, and I'm torn, too, because this is, oh, you guys want a close, tight game against a Pac-12 team. That really doesn't match up well at the line over the long haul with an SEC team. Because Pac-12 teams, not quite as much fatness on the line. That's why I keep saying Auburn's fatness, big advantage in any game they're playing outside of the SEC. They're just going to lean on you, and eventually you'll go, that fat, sweaty guy. I really just want to get away from him. What if I fell to the ground and just let him run over me? That'd be much easier than what I'm doing.
What if I asked the stewardess to give me a new seat?
Yeah, I would like to take a seat over here on the loss column, and you can take the one on the win column, and then I'm no longer this warm and uncomfortable. That's what happens when you play, you know, big fat Auburn. Their fatness just eventually wears you down. And they're winners for it, right? Like Auburn in this game, they've had this game before, right? We've seen it. Does it mean the same thing as Auburn's win, what was it, over Washington last year?
Yeah.
Yeah. Does it mean the same? Absolutely not. Do I know what it means? Oh, no. No, no, no. Ryan's right. It's completely opaque whether this is good or bad. I do know this. Bo Nix. Bo Nix threw a game-winning TD as a freshman. That's somebody who I believe will be the most unfortunate type of quarterback for me to watch, i.e. someone who will probably do the same to beat my team and then throw 9 interceptions the next week and look completely mortal. That kind of seems like that's what's going to happen because he threw 2 TDs and he also threw 2 interceptions. So that just figures that he's going to be that kind of dude.
He's going to put up some amazing stat lines where you're going to be like, wait, he went 6 of 38 and they won?
Again.
And he threw 3 touchdowns? What the shit?
Some things with the franchise are completely unpredictable, and some things are completely predictable. This is one of those completely predictable, unpredictable things where we won't know who shows up, right? We won't.
Fortunately, as we learned from Stephen Godfrey's piece last week, Auburn is a bedrock, stable group of individuals who
financially responsible,
who are all pulling in the same direction, and who definitely have a bead on where they want the future of this program to go and who they want to lead that.
Hugh Freeze was pulling in the same direction.
Tell him.
You want to just cut it?
No.
All right.
No, he'd bleed out.
Coaching from the stretcher again. You freeze,
man. He's enough of a stretcher.
Oh, exactly. Can I share a few statistics? Dams.
Yes, please.
Math us.
So first of all, do we know the national leader in completion percentage with 25 or more throws right now? You might detect the pride in my voice as I say this.
I know, but I want to let you say it.
My darling son Joe Burrow completing 85% of his throws, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions, all against a team that won 10 games last year. By the way, haters, you're sick right now because this is his 5th straight game completing at least 62%. Heisman soon come.
Can we trick the Dolphins into drafting Joe Burrow with 100%. A very, very high draft?
I mean, we won't even have to trick them, man. Seriously, we could throw that hook out there with a Cheeto on it. They're going to hit it like it's gold.
You see these numbers he's putting up at LSU? You'd be crazy not to take him 2nd overall.
This next stat on the board. Holly, do you know the nation's leading rusher right now? I ask you because it is your precious adopted nephew, Chuba Hubbard. With 221 yards.
Chuba Hubbard. I'm so thrilled.
Oklahoma State put up like over 500 yards of offense in their first game with their new offensive coordinator from Princeton. They're going to be super fun to watch.
And this third, well, let's see. Here's another quick one. The longest play in Northwestern Stanford was a 28-yard kickoff return. on those plays, you can do nothing and get 25 yards.
What is the do you have the drive handy where they had like a 14 play drive that ended in a punt? I'm not making that up.
I think it was for like 39 yards. I don't think it went very far at all.
It was one of the most
pointless. But it was just like the sheer number of possible plays. All right, so where are you? 11 plays, 47 yards. 8 minutes and 40 seconds of clock. Punt. It started at the 19. It ended at the Northwestern 34. And they punted.
I just want to I want on that drive.
This look, how is that any different from like playing around a golf? You're just enjoying a nice day walking around outside.
The minute they had to punt, I would really have wanted David Shaw to just drop his pants right on the sideline. Like, yes.
Coaches finally. Do that these days.
So we hear.
You can hear it sometimes.
Yeah, no, we don't need the noise, Spencer. We know.
So here's kind of an involved stat. All right, this one takes some twists and turns. So the defense that best shut down a Power 5 offense to this point in the season. Any guesses?
Is it, I mean, Liberty held Syracuse to 24 points, so.
Yeah, a mere 24, yeah. So Memphis allowed only 3.3 yards
Memphis
per play.
Memphis holding it down for the entire state of Tennessee.
The best football team in the Mid-South is, of course, Memphis, allowing 3.3 yards per play to Ole Miss.
Do you know the saddest part of that game? That Memphis doesn't respect Ole Miss enough to fight them.
I know. I what has this rivalry become?
I mean, so, like, Memphis just looked at you and was like, ugh, you're not worth it. What?
How would you feel?
You'll fight anyone in anything!
How would
you fight a mannequin?
We think we're so much better than
Miss
you,
game,
and
they saw
that.
A football game.
Disgusting.
Ugh.
Absolutely
there are also,
disgusting.
There are also good rumors of Ole Miss's starting quarterback either fighting or jawing with or whatever Matt Luke after the game. So everything's going great in Oxford, guys. Woo!
Did you? This is the Ole Miss fans I know. Like, the quickness with which they immediately surrendered any optimism about the season.
Oh, yeah.
Was
Alex McDaniel
so
and Monkey were just like, cups up. you guys are role models.
Like seriously, like, they thin slice so efficiently. Like, they took two sips of Ole Miss's batch for this year and were like, no, that's going to make me blind. Y'all can drink that stuff.
Which, once again, I recommend floating above your football team. Letting its actions occur and doing nothing to either advance or harm them.
Yeah, I was in awe, y'all. If you're an Ole Miss fan and you're listening to this, the efficiency was just breathtaking. Like, well, we suck. It's done. It's cool.
Eject! Oh, this space shuttle's about to blow. Eject!
I know, ejecting on the runway, right? Like, that left engine doesn't sound right.
It's not even on the runway. It's like walking to the space shuttle. They're like, oh, that shit ain't gonna work.
Also, respect to y'all.
That fucker's not gonna fly. Look at it.
Respect to Ole Miss fans, too, for being a people who are forced most of the time to pretend they don't drink while maintaining constant awareness of what is and is not methanol and what they're being handed. That's a line.
Yeah, I don't know about this shine my pastor made. I'm gonna have to pretend not to drink it from me.
That's holy water.
Yeah, the holes in your esophagus.
So Ole Miss, the university where everybody was happy to be getting rid of offense coordinator Phil Longo. We remember this?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
He went 2-for-2 in leading top 10 offenses. He was there 2 years. They had two top 10 offenses. I don't quite know what the communication problem here was. Apparently, he just wasn't cut out for the SEC because they were all very happy about it. He, of course, went to North Carolina.
You know, the Matt Luke way.
Yeah, it's...
Phil Longo left the SEC and somehow has more SEC wins.
Right, yeah, yeah. So UNC in week one, they put up 6.4 yards per play, which is number 9 in the country against a P5, with a true freshman quarterback with the number 3 best passer rating against a P5. Meanwhile, Ole Miss had the number 3 worst passer rating by P5, despite having a higher rated quarterback who's fighting his coach.
Did any of y'all watch any of the Ole Miss Memphis game?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, we rewatched the whole thing yesterday.
That offensive line? At several times, and I'm sure this is a matter of coaching a position, not of effort, okay? But on several occasions...
You don't know that.
On several occasions, their guards and tackles trying to defend the quarterback looked like me against a Memphis defensive lineman. They just looked like... They looked like they did not want to play football anymore. They looked like they wanted to be somewhere else doing anything else.
Somewhere other than Memphis?
It's paradise. I can't imagine it. Can I give you a prediction, by the way? They didn't fight Memphis, right? This team is quarterbacked by Matt Corral, who is feisty, right? He might be who Kirk Herbstreit might call him a character.
Yeah.
Right? And they didn't fight this week. You know who they play next week? Arkansas. You trying to tell me there's not going to be a fight in that game?
If they didn't fight Memphis, do they have any fight at all?
They didn't want Memphis. They didn't want Memphis.
I think the distinction here is Memphis wants to win while Arkansas wants to drag you into 4 overtimes. At that point, you got to fight.
And you
greetings to all our brand new Arkansas listeners. It's not me this week.
Oh, right. We made like art for anyone who missed this. We made like Arkansas sports talk radio or whatever for like one of the mildest things we've ever said, mostly in really praise of their weird statue.
This is really funny because Ryan was like, I was real worried when the Arkansas ESPN affiliate picked this up, and then I noticed it had like 4 likes.
When I get arrested for walking over the wall through the water and onto the statue to hug the hogs on the massive statue in Fayetteville.
Yes.
Don't doubt my love, Arkansas. I'll go to jail to hug that iron hog.
I want to see, first of all, that's,
good evening
nope.
to the out of context full cast Twitter account, and only to the out of context full cast Twitter account.
There's a lot to choose from this week.
Spencer, I want to see if they will let you and me camp out under the hog statue.
Yes!
Like, just get sleeping bags and sleep there. I will do it. I'll do it if they'll let us.
I will totally do it. It's just got to be below 80 degrees. That's fine. That's my only thing. The condition I have there is temperature, not sleeping under a statue.
You're going to wake up with a funeral pyre built around you.
Hell yes.
Is my only real concern. When that
just
happens,
cooking.
Can I have your stuff?
Sure.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's going to be a fight next week. That's it. Ole Miss is definitely like...
Man, here's hoping.
They're delayed. And that would be the only time they really hit.
I was
going to
say, at least then somebody be getting hit.
Not losing the tailgate, though, y'all. Woo!
Tailgate later seized by feds.
Yeah. I can't float above Ole Miss football because the fumes are toxic. I would also, something else I wanted to mention, by the way, a couple of notes. Michigan won despite with their new offense. Looks great. You know, like scored a lot of points, looked real active.
The Rick Stockstill retirement tour looked to be getting off in mighty fine fashion there for a minute.
Hey, my beloved Blue Raiders did Murfreesboro proud by competing for about a quarter and a half.
Didn't score as many points as Rutgers,
though.
More
than we can say for some of the other teams in the state.
And that's offensive juggernaut Rutgers, by the way, who...
Hard to ignore that the most telling statistic in football, total points scored, Rutgers leads Michigan so far this year. Hard to ignore that.
In this, as in other things.
I remember our dearly departed Bill Connolly always citing this stat as very
well, you know,
important.
I mean, conferences are groups of like-minded, equally valued institutions, and Rutgers being in the Big Ten does mean that they are the same as Michigan.
But has Michigan...
Michigan ranks only 7th in the Big Ten in points behind Illinois.
Ooh. Where do they rank in research?
And Maryland, who scored 79 on poor Howard.
Actually, where is the really aggressive research spending message board? I want to hang out there.
S&P stands for scores and points. Look it up.
But
yep,
has Michigan...
That's all it is.
I wanted to ask, has Michigan traded their values, their virtue, their character for success? Because
they sure as shit have, if you look around the stadium.
That's right, because the beloved Zip Tans, the tanning parlor across from Ann Arbor,
which I maintain was an Ohio State splinter cell that they did not dig out in time.
Let's just put
Holly that... it might have been a satellite campus,
and then it got infected.
Because sure, Shea Patterson looks more than comfortable in Gaddis's new offense. However, will he be able to sleep at night knowing that you can no longer walk across the street and receive that most Midwestern of blessings, which is a February spray tan at the Zip Tans? Because no, now it's been replaced with a coffee house.
But the coffee place is called Drip House, so maybe like a drip tan situation is available. I don't know what that is. It sounds upsetting. Let's move on.
Someone pointed out that that sounds like
that sounds like the Jacksonville State hype video.
Yeah,
the hardest
future mixtape of the next year, Drip House.
My favorite reply to that video was someone just saying, "Oh God, the season of Riverdale is weird."
The most Michigan thing about Zip Tans, I'm on their website, the career section of their website. Everything's going great at Banner Society, in case you're wondering.
Damn, dude.
At the bottom of the career section, it says in larger font, "Caution, slackers and sliders just don't fit the mold here. If this sounds like a team," in all caps, "you want to be a part of, spread your wings and shoot us your resume, and don't be afraid to brag. Even Zip Tans is not here for me firsters." There's no I in Zip Tans except for the I.
Wow.
This sounds like a tanning parlor in which I would be encouraged to run through tackles. So shit, yeah. I am always being tackled in the tanning parlor for one reason or another.
This is their company slogan. Quicker, cleaner, stronger, better.
Quicker.
Michigan football 2019.
Quicker, cleaner, stronger, better. Lose to Ohio State by 12. That's only the second.
Also, that's like only the Michigan.
Second. Yeah, that's only the second worst song I've been singing.
I was gonna say, also like night. Michigan, they briefly charted in 2001.
I did want to go ahead and point another thing out, which is we already have the greatest personal foul unsportsmanlike conduct of the year. I don't know if it's going to be equaled, but let's set the bar and see if somebody can pole vault over it. Okay. Because Jackson State's mascot received an unsportsmanlike penalty for going out in the field and celebrating like close after a long bomb touchdown for Jackson State. Came out, mugged up on everybody, and looked like he was going to swing at the opposing team in his adorable Tony Tiger looking outfit. Well done.
Jason had what I thought was the best retort to this.
I think you're actually wildly misstating what happened here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He was being a Tiger.
Attorney?
No, but you're making it sound like he came out onto the field and like just got in people's faces and that was a problem.
I actually but that's not what happened at all. On a player's helmet.
So Jackson's playing Jackson State's playing Bethune.
Yeah.
They throw a long ball into the end zone that appears to be caught but may have been fumbled while it's in the end zone, and there is a scramble for the ball, even though everybody's out of
Ryan,
bounds.
Ryan, you know
so
you're
going to
finish this explanation, and Spencer's going to go, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, I'm going to, yeah, right. I'm not going to bother. I'm going to just, yep.
Yeah.
Like an Ole Miss fan, I'm out.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know you're going to lose. So just,
Ryan said, not so no much... further questions, Your Honor. Yeah.
Why did I try?
But as Jason pointed
this is the full cast. Why did I try?
As Jason pointed out earlier, where does it say there's a rule against Tigers?
Open the record book. Control F. Tiger.
Point that to me, Indianapolis.
Are you suggesting that a mascot interfering in a live ball situation is bad?
I think he just had too much Bama in him.
It would vastly improve several of the games I saw this weekend.
I would also let's also like point out, by the way, that after this, I believe Bethune-Cookman scored something like. 22 uninterrupted points. Tiger charged the field. Made a mess of things, and then they lost the game by collapsing immediately after that happened.
Worth it.
Worth it. Completely worth it. Set the bar, y'all. But yeah, if you can top that, that's our current like bell. Someone go ring it.
Well, we ended on another Hugh Freeze quote.